For the last 12 years or so, I have inserted myself into Horton's advanced soil physics course. He's the instructor of record, but he asked me to do a few lectures, and it sort of snowballed, and now we teach it more or less 50-50. And what's, I think, most unique about this is that we do it as sort of a dialogue between two different ways of looking at processes. Okay, so let me briefly run through some of the basics. We have a prerequisite, but we recommend that the students also come in with some computer science or numerical methods. We don't require a textbook. Of course, Bob recommends the jury and Horton, but really, it's not a textbook-based course at all. Where we have drawn students, I would say almost two-thirds of our students come from agronomy and soil science, but a whole lot of them, the rest of them mostly will come from these other areas. Typically, the engineers make up maybe as much as a quarter of the class, and we frequently have postdocs or visiting scientists. Let me say also that Horton's students tend to take the course 1 year, and then when we offer it 2 years later, they tend to sit in on it. I guess the message I've got from them is that this way they get to be confused twice in a row. So what do we do with an advanced course? Obviously, you want to expand some on the introductory course, no surprises. Because it's very much specifically a graduate course, we want to get them into the literature a little bit, though I don't think we do it as well as I'd like to. We want to connect with some of the related disciplines, of which there are too many to name. We want to show some of the uses of it. Okay, all that's fun, but of course the cooler stuff is that we want to bring in some completely new concepts, and we want to give them some new tools, specifically mathematical analytical tools. So some of these new concepts first. Of course, the big one is this discrete versus continuum perspective, and I'll say a little more about that in a moment. Pore scale properties, that's some of what we're after in the discrete perspective, looking at pore scale properties and events, pore scale models. One of those is percolation theory, which is sort of a way of going from the pore scale to the continuum scale, a mathematical physical framework for that. One of Horton's specialties is coupled heat and water, so we talk some about coupled processes, which generally aren't touched on in an introductory course. And one thing we try to stress is that the various soil properties are interrelated, sort of by definition. The hope, the ideal, what we think of as happening is that if you measure one property in a soil, it should tell you something about other things. I mean, Pareto transfer functions are an easy way of tackling this, but we're trying to say it's not like you have air permeability and it's completely unrelated to hydraulic conductivity, to take an easy example. Okay, so I'm going to show a few sample slides here, and these are mostly from my parts of the lectures. So I say transport is central to what we study, but our current understanding of transport is largely empirical. It's disorganized. We don't have generally, we haven't related the diffusion equations, for example, very well to the hydraulic conductivity equations, or certainly we haven't related the parameters well. And it's largely ignorant of physics after 1940, by which, of course, I would mean things like percolation theory. And the illustration here is partly to show that we have, when I say a dialogue between continuum and discrete, it's somewhat of a bantering dialogue, Horton and me just sort of picking on each other. And he has seen this slide. Okay, so here's an example or a sort of a framework of how I contrast the two systems. Continuum perspectives are what we're more used to, something like what you'd see in hydrous, for example. You have volume averaged properties continuous processes and so on and so forth. This implied topology here means, for example, that if you have this layer next to this layer, then you assume that stuff can flow from this layer to this layer and vice versa. And it tends to work well with large scale things. And if you've put it all together right, you got the right solution. Sort of like what Ed was showing. You know, Hydrus has all this stuff put in right, and you get a solution that should be a reasonable, we like to think, approximation of reality. In the discrete perspective, you're looking at properties varying from point to point. The topology is explicit. If I have a pore here and a pore here, I have to say, are they connected or are they not? It's different from one point to another all the way. And there's a lot of stochastic stuff because you don't really have this information. You have to fill it in stochastically. And what you get out at the end isn't a correct solution, but you, with luck, get the properties, the bulk properties of the system emerging from the interaction of all those point-to-point properties. Okay, here's an example. Historically, soil scientists have looked at electrical conductivity with this, the Rhodes equation. But I'll point out, okay, here we've got a percolation equation, which would apply to conductivity generally. And if we normalize it, so here you see the same thing, the difference in probabilities raised to this percolation exponent, and we can take this whole thing and just say, okay, that's going to be our sigma naught. And if we take Rhodes' data, we can compare the continuum, so to speak, and the discrete perspectives, and they'll look fairly similar, although I note that if you plot them in log space, you'll get a very different picture of what's what. Okay, so just illustrating some of the interplay between the different perspectives. Now, I said we introduce new concepts. We also try to teach mathematical and analytical tools. Some of it is just some very basics of programming. We used to use CSMP. Then for several years, we used MathCAD. Now we're using Scilab, which is very much like MATLAB. It's not nearly as friendly in some ways, but I really hated sending our students from developing countries out with this tool that was going to cost them $1,000 if they wanted to pick up their own copy. And Scilab has the advantage of being a public domain. So we teach them some basic concepts in the programming sorts of things. We teach them about how you use analytical models to validate or check your numerical models with. But of course, the numerical models can do something that analytical models can't if you've got some funny initial or boundary conditions. And of course, we teach them to be skeptical of models. And it's not hard to teach students to be skeptical of models when they are writing the models themselves. Okay, here's an example. And I have to say, Horton put together a really marvelous sequence of homework problems. One of the first is we fill a bucket. Okay, it sounds like sort of a dumb thing in its way. And we've got this analytical solution for the volume of a truncated cone. Okay, not such a big deal. But supposing we're filling it at a constant rate, you may know what the volume of water is at some time, but what's the height of the water? Well, the height of the water is going to be, I'm not even sure how to say it. You know, the volume of the water is going to be based on the height of the water, and you end up with two related equations, and you have to back out a solution by doing some root finding. And that's a first introduction for many of them to this concept of implicit equations. Then we get nasty and we say, okay, now the bucket has a leak in it, and worse yet, the rate at which the water is leaving is related to the height of the water in the bucket. And so now you've got some time stepping and interpolation and such. Then we introduce some better ways of hitting this bucket with explicit, implicit, and Crank-Nicholson approaches to handling the leak. And then it just kind of goes on from there. We say, okay, now we've got a whole stack of buckets, one over the other, and each one has a leak. And then once they've got their heads wrapped onto that one, we say, okay, now we've got infiltration. Think of the soil as a series of leaky buckets. Each conceptual layer is going to be a bucket. And they go through the Haverkamp and Parlange experiment, which is nicely documented, gives you all the parameters, and they can reproduce that with what is conceptually very similar to leaky buckets. And then you go into heat where the water's, the heat is flowing up as well as down. Up for the first ones, you know, the water's always flowing down. Now suddenly things are flowing up and down, and you have a whole new perspective. So the sequence builds on itself very nicely. Okay. Students have to do a semester project. It's usually related to their research. We encourage them to use the modeling methods. Because we go through this stuff fairly quickly, I end up working fairly intensely with some of the students. And that's a great experience for me, too. They give an oral and a written presentation, both. Then for a final exam, we have an oral exam, which is sort of modeled after a thesis defense. Students and teachers, and I say teachers advisedly here because grad students who have taken the course previously then sit in on it, usually give a couple of lectures. Horton and I are both the teachers as well. Sometimes the teachers outnumber the students. There's a lot of interaction as with any oral exam or something like that. You know, the student will be up at the board trying to answer a question, and another student may say, well, okay, how about if you think of it this way? And, you know, the kind of leading hints, which some students really have a hard time learning, and it's a necessary preparation for something like a thesis defense. And, of course, pizza, because we do this over, this is always done over lunch. Not sure how that one started. Okay, we've gotten some interesting feedback from the students. I did an actual survey, not a questionnaire. This was a survey. And the student feedback has been quite interesting. They say most of the discrete topics were new. Several of the students talked about what topics that we taught have been useful to them in their career. And I'm glad that several of them said this discrete versus continuum perspective has really helped give them a way to look at things. Topics they emphasize in their own teaching. Their own teaching tends to be, it tends not to use the discrete versus continuum so much. And I was somewhat sad to see that percolation theory didn't show up in any of these, but I still teach it anyway. Comments have been very interesting. The class taught me how to read and understand major assumptions and implications for different models. The skepticism we tried to teach does come through. The class adds information that doesn't appear in a lot of soil physics books. That's certainly true. We went through topic X so fast, all it gave me was a sense of dread. And I know what topic X was too, though I won't say it here. But it wasn't percolation. I think the topics that were covered were more than enough. I'd ask the students, so are there other topics you'd like us to cover? And it's like, no. I think the same. I think we're covering enough. So in summary, the dialogue approach we take, I think, is a very unusual tack for a course, even a course like this. It's a lot of fun. It emphasizes a way, I think it's important for people to be able to look at a topic from more than one perspective. And this is kind of a fun way to do it, and the perspectives are clearly different. We teach emerging concepts that students wouldn't get in a more traditional, certainly a more traditional introductory soil physics course. The model building is integrated tightly into the class, and many students have told me that the tools they've learned there have been helpful in among other things, just trying to analyze their own data later in putting together their dissertation. Now, one thing we've noticed is that we don't get a lot of enrollment here. As I said, sometimes the teachers outnumber the students. And because this is a rather unusual format, Horton and I have talked for years about, you know, anything from putting together a website or a book or trying to offer it online. And I'd be curious to know if there's interest here in this course or some extension of this course being available online. And so I'm going to end with this question.
Time for a question or two while we're bringing up the next
presentation?
Yep, I can bring it up.
No, wait, that's my question. I asked first.
Oh, sorry.
Answer
the question.
Any
answers on this?
I think so, in general, not only yours, but any course, having it available on the web in some kind of a model structure that appeals to show your percolation theory could be one module and we can choose to pick that around.
Fair enough.